All right, so today we're diving deep into something that can feel pretty complicated.
Yeah, it can be a bit of a head scratcher.
The Federal Reserve.
The Fed, yeah.
And, especially for our listeners who are, really focused on making a difference right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, you might be thinking, what does the Fed have to do with me?
Right.
But the truth is, the Fed's decisions, they impact everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cost of groceries, interest rates on loans, you name it.
Yeah, I mean, the Fed, they control the U.S. money supply. They try to keep the banking system stable, and they set those interest rates that, affect a whole lot in our lives.
Okay, so that brings us to the big question, right? Is the Fed actually doing what it's supposed to? Are they the good guys, the economic firefighters, or are they maybe secretly making things worse?
Right, yeah. Like, are they actually the ones starting the fires?
Yeah, and we're going to explore this whole debate through a documentary called Playing with Fire.
Okay.
And this documentary, it comes from a very specific perspective.
Oh, for sure.
It's a critique of the Fed from the Austrian School of Economics.
Interesting.
So before we jump into the critiques, maybe you should start with some basics.
Yeah.
Like, what is money, really? I mean, we use it every day, but have you ever stopped to think about what it actually is?
That's a it's a deeper question than you might think.
Right.
At its core, money is just whatever we all agree to use for trading.
So like a common language for value.
Exactly. It lets us trade without having to barter, which would be,
Oh, a total nightmare. Can you imagine trying to like barter for groceries?
oh my gosh, how many bags of potatoes for a gallon of milk? It'd be chaos.
Totally. But this is where things get really interesting. The form that money takes, that has changed a lot over time.
Oh, absolutely.
So we started with commodity-backed systems.
Right, like the gold standard, where every dollar actually represented a real piece of gold.
So you could like actually hold the gold that your money represented.
Exactly. But today, things are different. We have what's called a fiat currency system,
Fiat currency.
meaning the dollar isn't tied to any physical commodity.
So it's based on trust.
Trust in the government, yeah, that they'll keep the money valuable.
So it's like a promise.
Sort of, yeah. And this leads us to the banking system.
Okay.
And this is where things can get a little tricky.
Okay, lay it on us.
So it's called fractional reserve banking.
Fractional reserve.
Yeah, banks, they don't actually hold on to all the money you deposit.
What?
Yeah, they only keep a fraction.
What happens to the rest?
They lend it out.
To make more money.
Right. And this lending, it actually creates new money in the system. It's kind of a
So it's like money is multiplying.
Sort of. Let me give you an example. Imagine you deposit $100.
Okay.
The bank, they might keep $10 and luck out the other $90.
Okay.
And then that $90 gets deposited in another bank who keeps a bit and lends out the rest, and so on, creating more and more money with each cycle.
Wow, that's wild. But if banks are always lending out most of their money, wouldn't that be a problem if like everyone wanted to withdraw their money at the same time?
Oh yeah, that's the big risk.
So what happens then?
It can lead to bank runs.
Bank runs.
Yeah, where everyone rushes to get their money out.
That sounds chaotic.
It can be, yeah. And this is where the Federal Reserve comes in.
Okay, so they're like the safety net.
In a way, yeah. The Fed was created in 1913, partly to deal with these bank panics.
So over 100 years ago.
Yep. Back then there was this big push for the government to like take a more active role in the economy.
Okay, so they thought the Fed would be the answer to these economic roller coasters.
Yeah, the idea was that this new central bank, with its branches and board of governors, it would smooth things out.
Keep things stable.
Right. They would be the lender of last resort, stepping in to save banks from collapsing.
Okay, so the big question is, did it work? I mean, we've still had recessions and crises, even with the Fed.
Yeah, and that's where the Austrian school comes in with a different perspective.
Okay, before we get into that, can we just quickly talk about what the Austrian school is all about?
Yeah, sure.
What makes them different?
Well, they really emphasize free markets,
Okay.
and they're generally against government intervention in the economy.
Less government, more free market.
Exactly. They believe that markets are the best way to allocate resources.
Okay, so let the market do its thing.
Right. They argue that when the government tries to manipulate things, especially with money, it usually ends up making things worse.
Okay, interesting. And this leads to their big theory, right? The Austrian business cycle theory.
Yes, this is a key concept for them.
All right, break it down for us. What is this theory all about?
Basically, they say that the Fed's actions, especially when they make it easier to borrow money, can create these artificial booms.
Artificial booms.
Yeah, like the economy is growing, but it's not based on real demand. It's like a bubble.
Okay, I'm starting to see where this is going. So these booms, they can't last forever.
Exactly. They're not sustainable. And when they burst, it leads to, you guessed it, economic downturns.
So the Austrian school is saying that the Fed isn't preventing these crises, it's actually causing them.
That's the core of their argument. Instead of being the firefighter, they see the Fed as, well, the arsonist.
Wow. Okay, that's a pretty bold statement. But before we go down that road, let's talk about something that affects all of us every day.
Okay.
Inflation.
Right, that sneaky thing that makes everything more expensive.
Exactly. It's like our money is it's losing value over time. But here's what I don't get. The Fed actually has a target for inflation.
Yeah, they aim for about 2% per year.
So they actually want prices to go up.
Well, their argument is that a little bit of inflation is good. It encourages spending, keeps the economy moving.
But doesn't that hurt people who are on fixed incomes or who don't have a lot of savings?
That's a good point. And the Austrian school would say that any intentional inflation is bad, even if it's just a little bit.
So they see it as harmful.
Yeah, they argue that even a small amount of inflation eats away at our savings over time.
Making it harder to build wealth.
Exactly. And they also say it distorts market signals, leading to bad investment decisions.
So who wins and who loses in this whole inflation game?
That's a key question, because inflation doesn't affect everyone equally.
Right.
Like, the documentary points out that certain groups, people on fixed incomes, people who don't have access to sophisticated financial tools, they get hit the hardest.
So it's like even if the Fed's policies are meant to help the overall economy, they can end up making things worse for certain people.
Yeah, that's the critique, that it creates this uneven playing field.
Okay, this brings us to another big concept. Financialization. What exactly does that mean?
So financialization, it's basically the idea that the financial sector is becoming more and more dominant in our economy.
So instead of making things, we're more focused on like manipulating money.
Sort of, yeah. And the documentary argues that the Fed's interventions, especially bailouts, actually contribute to this problem.
Hold on, bailouts. How do those fit in?
Well, when financial institutions know that they'll be rescued if they take big risks.
They're more likely to take those risks.
Exactly. It's called moral hazard.
So they get the profits when things go well, but when things go bad.
Taxpayers end up footing the bill. And the documentary argues that this creates a system that's, well, unfair.
Right. It seems like a lot of power is concentrated in the hands of a few.
That's a key point, and it's something we'll be exploring further in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, can't wait. But before we wrap up this part, there's one more thing I wanted to touch on, something that's been in the news a lot lately.
Okay.
Central bank digital currencies.
CBDCs. Yeah, those are definitely generating a lot of buzz.
So can you explain, like, what exactly is a CBDC?
So imagine a digital version of the US dollar,
Okay.
issued and controlled directly by the Fed.
So instead of physical cash, we'd be using digital dollars.
Exactly.
Stored in accounts managed by the Fed.
Right. Now, some people argue that this could be a good thing, you know, increased efficiency, maybe even financial inclusion for people who don't have bank accounts.
Okay, I see. But the documentary raises concerns about CBDCs, right?
Oh, yeah. Big concerns, especially about privacy and control.
Like the government having too much power over our money.
Exactly. With a CBDC, they could potentially see every transaction you make.
Wow, that's a bit unsettling.
It's definitely something to think about as this technology develops.
Okay, I think my head is officially spinning.
It's a lot to take in.
We've gone from the basics of money to the Austrian school to financialization to CBDCs. Where do we even go from here?
Don't worry, you're doing great. We've laid the groundwork for understanding the Fed and its impact.
Okay, good.
And in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to go even deeper.
Deeper.
Yeah, we'll look at the history of the Fed, how its powers have evolved, especially during those big economic crises.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. We'll be back soon with part two of our deep dive into the Federal Reserve. Stay tuned.
All right, welcome back to our deep dive into the Federal Reserve.
Okay, so last time we really unpacked a lot. You know, we talked about money, the Austrian school, and their critique of the Fed.
Yeah, a lot of big ideas. And you might be thinking, okay, but how does this actually connect to, you know, my life here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena?
Right.
Well, as we get into the history of the Fed, you'll start to see how their decisions, they really ripple out. They affect communities all across the country.
So, like real-world impacts.
Oh, yeah. Jobs, housing prices, even, you know, the cost of your coffee in the morning.
Okay, I'm listening. So the documentary, Playing with Fire, it argues that the Fed has kind of used moments of crisis to like increase their power.
Yeah, that's the argument they're making. It's like they wait for the alarm bells to go off and then they swoop in as the heroes,
Right.
but in the process they end up with more and more control.
It sounds, I don't know, a little bit sneaky.
Well, that's the critique, right?
Okay. So one of the one of the big moments they talk about is when the U.S. abandoned the gold standard.
Ah, yes. 1971.
Remember we talked about that earlier, how each dollar used to be backed by actual gold?
Right. It was a more tangible system.
Yeah, it felt like, you know, your money actually represented something real.
Exactly. And the gold standard, it put a limit on how much money the government could print.
Okay, so a natural check on their power.
Right. But when that link to gold was broken, it basically opened the door for what we have now.
A fiat currency system.
Exactly. The dollar's value is based solely on, well...
trust.
Faith in the government's promise.
Right. Okay, so how did that shift affect things? I mean, what were the consequences of moving away from the gold standard?
Well, the Austrian school would argue that it gave the Fed a lot more flexibility.
Okay.
But it also removed a key protection against inflation.
Right, because they see inflation as a real threat.
Exactly. And they point to the 1970s, a period of stagflation.
Stagflation.
Yeah, high inflation and stagnant economic growth.
Oof, that sounds rough. So prices were going up. And the economy wasn't really growing.
Exactly. And people were struggling. It was a difficult time. And this is where the rise of financialization comes in, that trend we talked about earlier.
Okay, remind me, what was financialization again?
It's basically the idea that the financial sector is becoming more and more dominant in the economy.
Okay, so less focus on making things and more focus on, like, playing with money.
In a way, yeah.
And the documentary is arguing that the Fed's policies, especially keeping interest rates low, actually contributed to this shift.
Yeah, they see a connection there. Because when it's cheap and easy to borrow money, it encourages speculation.
So instead of investing in businesses that create jobs and, you know, produce actual things,
people are more likely to chase quick profits in the financial markets.
Right, and that can lead to those bubbles we talked about.
Exactly, like the dot-com bubble in the late 90s or the housing bubble in the early 2000s.
Okay, so cheap credit fuels these unsustainable booms.
Which then inevitably burst.
Causing those economic shocks that affect everyone. But is the Fed really to blame for all of this? I mean, it's a pretty big accusation.
Well, the Austrian school would argue that the Fed's actions definitely play a significant role.
Okay.
They see the Fed as constantly reacting to the consequences of its own policies.
So instead of preventing these economic downturns?
They might actually be making them worse.
Okay, I'm starting to see their point. And this brings us to, I guess, one of the biggest economic crises in recent history.
The 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah, that was a
defining moment.
It felt like the whole world was on the verge of collapsing.
You're right. It was a scary time.
So how did the Fed respond? I mean, what did they do?
Well, their response was unprecedented. They went all in with their interventions.
Okay.
Bailing out banks, using all sorts of new tools to try to prop up the financial system.
So they were really like throwing everything they had at it.
They were pulling out all the stops. And one of their key strategies was something called quantitative easing.
Quantitative easing. Now that's a mouthful.
It is, yeah. Basically, they injected massive amounts of money into the economy.
How?
By buying up assets like mortgage-backed securities.
Okay.
So they were creating new money and using it to buy up these toxic assets that were threatening to bring down the whole system.
Wow, that sounds pretty risky.
It was, yeah. And while it might have prevented a total meltdown, the documentary argues that it also had some significant unintended consequences.
Like what?
Well, for one, it really solidified the Fed's role as, like, the ultimate backstop for the financial system.
Right, so now everyone expects them to always come to the rescue.
Exactly. Which, as we discussed, can create moral hazard.
Banks taking bigger risks because they know they'll be bailed out.
Right, and it also created a situation where the Fed is now holding trillions of dollars worth of assets.
Trillions.
Yeah. Which raises concerns about potential inflation down the road.
And the distorting effects all of that can have on the market.
Right. And it's important to remember, the Fed, they're not elected by the people.
Yeah, that's a good point. So they have all this power, but they're not accountable to voters.
That's a critique often raised, yeah.
And then, of course, we had the COVID-19 pandemic, which threw another wrench into the system.
Right. The pandemic really tested the Fed's their ability to respond. They implemented even more aggressive measures.
More money printing?
Yeah, trillions of dollars pumped into the economy.
It felt like, I don't know, they were just making it up as they went along.
There was definitely a sense of experimentation in their approach.
So what were the effects of all that? I mean, are we seeing the consequences now?
Well, that massive increase in the money supply, it's fueled concerns about inflation.
Right, which we're all feeling now. Prices are going up everywhere. You know, even when I go to the grocery store here in Pasadena, I'm noticing it.
Yeah, it's affecting everyone.
It's like the same stuff costs so much more now. It really makes you think about how these big economic forces play out in our everyday lives.
You've hit on a key point. The Fed's actions, they have real consequences for all of us. And it's not just about prices at the store. It's about jobs, wages, the overall health of the economy.
Okay, so how do we connect these big economic theories to what's happening right here in our local community? But that's what a lot of our listeners are thinking about.
Well, think about it this way. When the Fed keeps interest rates low, it might seem like a good thing at first. It makes it easier to borrow money, maybe for a house or a new business.
Right.
But those low rates, they can contribute to inflation, which, as we've discussed, can erode the value of our savings and make it harder for people to, you know, make ends meet.
It's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, what might seem good in the short term can have negative consequences down the road. And it's not just in individuals. High inflation, it makes it harder for businesses to plan for the future.
Creates uncertainty.
Exactly. And that can lead to instability in the local economy.
Okay, this is all pretty intense stuff. It makes you wonder if there's a better way, you know, a more sustainable way to manage our money.
You're right. It's a complex issue with no easy answers. But that's why it's so important to have these conversations, to understand how these systems work and how they affect our lives, so we can make informed decisions and advocate for policies that benefit everyone.
Right. We can't just sit back and, you know, let things happen to us. We have to be informed and engaged citizens, especially when it comes to something as important as money.
Absolutely.
But before we get into solutions, I'm really curious to hear more about the alternatives that the documentary proposes. Like, what does a world without the Fed even look like? How would that even work?
That's a great question. And that's exactly what we'll be exploring in the final part of our deep dive. We'll look at those alternative systems, weigh their pros and cons, and think critically about what kind of monetary future we want to create.
Okay, I'm already on the edge of my seat. We'll be right back with the final part of our deep dive into the world of the Federal Reserve. Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into the Federal Reserve. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about problems. But now let's talk about solutions. Like, what are the alternatives?
Right. What does a world without the Fed even look like?
Exactly. Is that even possible? And if so, how would it work? Because the documentary, Playing with Fire, it really pushes this idea of sound money.
Yeah, a system where the value of money isn't constantly being manipulated by central bankers.
Right. So ditching the fiat currency system that we have now, the one where the dollar's value is, you know, essentially based on trust in the government.
Exactly. And one of the most common proposals for replacing that is going back to some form of commodity-backed money, like, you know, the gold standard.
The gold standard. So we'd be back to those gold coins from the Wild West. But seriously, how would that even work in today's world? I mean, could we really go back to that?
Well, think about it this way. Instead of dollars that can be printed freely by the government, our money would be directly tied to a specific amount of gold. So the supply of money would be limited by the amount of gold available.
So it would be a lot harder to just, you know, print more money whenever you feel like it.
Exactly. Proponents of the gold standard argue that this would create a much more stable and predictable system.
Okay, I can see that. But what about those times when, you know, the economy need a boost? What if we need to inject money into the system to prevent a collapse? Could we even do that under a gold standard?
That's a common critique of the gold standard, yeah. Critics argue that it would make the economy too rigid.
Okay, too inflexible to respond to those unexpected events.
Right. But supporters of the gold standard, they would argue that the stability provided by sound money would actually make those crises less likely to occur in the first place.
So it's like a trade-off. Flexibility versus stability.
Right.
Are there other options, like, besides just going back to the gold standard?
Yeah, absolutely. The documentary also explores some other ideas like free banking.
Free banking. Okay, what is that?
It's a system where private banks could issue their own currencies.
Wait, so instead of having one central bank, we'd have like a bunch of different currencies all competing with each other.
Yeah, that's the basic idea. And they would be subject to market competition. So banks would have a real incentive to maintain the value of their currencies.
Okay, I see. So to attract customers, they would have to make sure their money was, you know, stable and reliable.
Exactly. Proponents of free banking argue that this would lead to greater stability and more innovation in the financial system.
Okay, that sounds pretty radical. But wouldn't it also be incredibly confusing? I mean, can you imagine trying to, like, keep track of exchange rates between all these different currencies?
Yeah, that's one of the criticisms of free banking, that it would be too complex and potentially lead to, you know, instability. But supporters would say that the market would find ways to simplify and manage those complexities.
Right, like how we all adapted to, you know, smartphones and apps.
Exactly. What seemed overwhelming at first eventually became, normal.
It really comes down to whether you believe the market can self-regulate. even when it comes to something as important as, you know, money.
You've hit on a key point. It's a question of trust. Do you trust a central authority like the Fed, or do you trust the decentralized forces of the market?
That's a big question. And it has huge implications, not just for, you know, our bank accounts, but for like how our society is structured. So what does this all mean for, you know, the average person, for our listeners in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena? What can we do?
The most important thing is to be informed, to learn about these different perspectives, question assumptions, and don't be afraid to challenge the status quo. Don't just accept things the way they are.
Right. We need to be active participants in, you know, shaping the future, especially when it comes to something as fundamental as money, and especially in a world where technology is like constantly changing the financial landscape.
You're absolutely right. The future of money isn't set in stone. It's something we can all have a say in.
So stay curious, keep asking questions, and let's work together to build a better financial future for everyone. And for our listeners here in the community, remember that even these big national issues, they have local impacts.
Absolutely.
The choices we make, the businesses we support, how we manage our own finances, it all contributes to the economic well-being of our community. So think, act locally, even when it comes to something as big and complex as the Federal Reserve. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's given you some food for thought.